For some reason, this is not getting easier. I thought it would, but it's not. But we'll do the best we can. I want to thank Brother Scott for the good song service and for the appropriate songs that go with the message. I want to thank Eric for his work with our youth group and for the opportunity he gives them to be a part of something like NYR. Practicing the presence of God. The Apostle Paul was in the town of Athens, Greece, and traveling through the streets, he noticed this sign that said, "To an unknown God." Well, he thought to himself, little do they know that I'm telling them about the true God. They don't know him, but I do, and I'm going to share him with them. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, when he begins to speak, he said, "Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord in heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made them from one man, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." The apostle made it clear to those people that the God that they worshiped by the sign "To an unknown God" was actually with them in the person of Jesus Christ. And he came to tell them about that. It's generally understood that God is everywhere. Paul himself said he's not far from each one of us. And yet the Bible also states that in a special way, God is with his people. And in a particular set of circumstances, the presence of God is here. He's not far from each one of us. I think if we were able to realize that and appreciate it, it could have a bearing on the way we live and have a profound effect on our lives. If we ignore the presence of God in our lives, we just might be missing out on some of the special blessings that God has prepared for us. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came, made a prophecy in which he said that a virgin will bring forth a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That would be one of the names that people used in referring to Jesus. Emmanuel translates into the words, "God is with us." So when Jesus came, that was God's presence to mankind, intended to be a blessing for all men who would come to believe in him. So, in the interest of maintaining a healthy spiritual life, we need to become and remain aware of God's presence in our lives and in our world, so that we can gain the strength that would provide and get the encouragement that it would produce as well. We need to recognize that God's presence is with us, though, in a spiritual sense. We're not talking about someone living around us that we can see and shake hands with. God is invisible, the Bible says. But in his presence with us, by how he affects us and influences us, and what he can do through us, we acknowledge and must acknowledge that it is truly God who is with us. Let's look at some of the ways in which the scripture says that God is with us. In one case, it says God is present in creation. This is found in Psalm 19, the first four verses. So when you look up at the night sky, why don't you stop to think that is evidence of God's presence here with us, including me. It says the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, night to night reveals knowledge. But there is no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the earth. Everywhere people can look up at the sky and see the creative power of God is evidence that God is indeed with us. Because God's presence is so evident in viewing the created universe, all the world, everywhere, all the continents, the out in the islands, wherever there are people, they have an opportunity to acknowledge the existence and the power of Almighty God. Now, an unbeliever doesn't acknowledge that. But they don't have a better explanation for how it got that way. So perhaps we could share, if we ever have the opportunity, that truly God is with us because of the wonders of creation. There is a law in science called cause and effect. Every effect requires that there be a cause for it to occur, so that no cause, none at all, short of a divine, supernatural, all-powerful creator could account for the existence of the universe. Now, true, the evolutionist has what they claim to be some plausible reason for how it got that way, but it's a stretch that is greater than believing in the Almighty God. They believe there was a big explosion, bang, and it all came into being, the Big Bang theory. But it is far more plausible, logical, sensible, since cause and effect, there has to be a cause. And that cause can't be an accidental cause. An explosion is random. Every time something blows up, the pieces go in a different place. Do you suppose that kind of a circumstance resulted in the planets, the stars and the sun and the moon and all that? Instead of that, realize that for every design, there must be a designer. A watch, a computer, an automobile, anything that is visible to our eyes had someone smart enough to prepare it, to design it, and to create it. It's so logical and sensible to realize that for every effect, there is a cause. For the universe to have come into being required a supernatural cause, and that was Almighty God the Father. God is with us. He's with everybody in the sense of telling us, I'm up here. I made this. I love you. I sent my son. I've got a message for you. Are you listening? And people need to pay attention to that. In the second place, God is present in Christian assemblies. That's kind of scary to think of that, isn't it? In a sense, God is sitting beside you in the pew. He's in the assembly in an invisible presence, and he wants to bless you for being here. Thank you for coming, by the way. And he wants you to go away a better person. He wants you to go away with more strength, spiritual strength. He wants you to go away to accomplish something of true value that will last for eternity. And that is the praise that you offer to Almighty God. There aren't that many here as listening to Joel Osteen this morning, but that doesn't matter, because here's what it says in the scripture in Matthew 18. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask. This sounds like a prayer meeting to me, because people are gathered and they discuss what they would like to have happen, and so they share it. Two or three, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Now notice this, for where two or three have gathered together, or 20 or 30, or 2 million or 2 trillion, you can't get them all in one building, though, of course. I am there in their midst. The Bible says God is here. He's in their midst. Now, how can he do that? Well, him being the supernatural, all-powerful, almighty, all-present, all-knowing God, he can do whatever. And all over the earth, where there are those meeting, as few as they may be, in the name of God and worshiping through Jesus Christ, God says, I am there in their midst. He's here during the preaching of the word. When you read in the New Testament about preachers, like Peter, for instance, in Acts the 2nd chapter, when he stood up and there were thousands of people gathered and for the Pentecostal feast, and he spoke to them, and he gave the whole layout of how Jesus came and was rejected and died and rose again. And then when he concluded his message, it says, and I tell you, he says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now that's in Acts 2:37. People can be cut to the heart. Now who makes that happen, do you think? Do you think any preacher standing or sitting up here would have the power to cut you in the heart like that by what they say? Who's powerful enough to do that? How does that happen? We have evidence from the scripture that when the preaching of God's word went out, that God was there and he brought that kind of conviction to people. You say, well, I don't feel too much. Well, there is the matter of having an open heart, and other passages speak about our heart being open and tender and pliable to the message. You have something to say about that. You can be honest and good. Remember the parable of the sower of the seed said it was a good and honest heart where the seed took root. grew and produced a crop. You can affect the result of the preaching of a message you hear when you are gathered together with your friends. Now, the scripture also says that the Holy Spirit, when he is come, will convict the world in respect of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit's work, when Jesus came, he said he will be here, but he's leaving and heading for heaven, but he's going to send someone down to take his place. And the one he sent was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job was to convict people. So God, through the Holy Spirit, brings this cutting to the heart conviction that people need in order to turn to God and be saved. And so this morning, if you want God's blessing, then you need to open your heart to whatever he wants you to know today, and you will respond to that. He's here in the music as well. There's this passage in Psalm 22 where it quotes someone saying, "I will tell your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." Who's doing the talking there? This psalm is a reference to the coming Jesus, because in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, it quotes that and applies it to Jesus. So Jesus is saying, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. So the Heavenly Father was receiving the praise of the Son, where? In the church meeting, in the assembly. You thought, well, it was just us who were doing it. But the scripture says Jesus is offering praise to the Father. And in that sense, Jesus is with us. Visibly, no. Audibly, you probably won't hear any sound that would be Jesus praising God. But in the sense that his people are offering that praise, he is in their presence with them and in them so that they can praise God at that time. In the third place, God is present when we serve others. People speak about desiring the presence of the Lord with them. They need to realize that God can be and is with people who are serving others. And if someone wants the presence of God, but seems to be so wrapped up in themselves that they make such a small package doing that, that God is going to be with them. If they just did their own thing for themselves. But it's when we are serving others that the power and the presence of the Lord is with us. Here is the way it's put, Jesus' words. "And there arose also a dispute among these disciples as to which one of them was regarded as the greatest." I find that hard to believe, but I'm sure it's true. These men were handpicked. They were godly men. And yet here they are arguing about which one is the greatest. Do Christians do that today? That's sure. Then if they do, here's the remedy. "He said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest,'" like an adolescent. If they want to be the top person, they have to take a back seat. "The leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table," meaning the person who is being honored at some banquet, or the one who serves, who brings in the food and the drink? Is it not the one who reclined at the table? Now listen to what Jesus said, the point. Here it is. But I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus was among them visibly, physically, but he is among those who are serving today. If someone is serving in the name of Jesus, how can they do that? Well, they can do it because of the presence of Jesus in their lives that is demonstrating that. Some of you might have known my dear wife, Bethel. She's been gone 9 years now. And during her lifetime, she would send out greeting cards and gifts and so many things that demonstrated the love of Christ. And some of you who knew her would attest to that and may have been the recipient of some blessings she gave to others. During that time, hundreds, and I'm using that literally because I have those recorded in the biography of her life that I wrote. It's called Bethel, A Place Where God Dwells. And it enumerates and states word for word those hundreds of tributes that were given to her for her love and care and patience and blessing. One person named Sherry, who was in the church out in Seattle where I ministered for years, wrote a poem about her. And here is one line that stood out and seemed unbelievable for anyone to think in these terms. In that poem, Sherry said about Bethel, "It seems one fine lady has had quite an impact. She modeled Christian love, a female Jesus, in fact." You can see the rhyme there. Calling her a female Jesus? That seems beyond reason. But if you can understand the influence that she had on people, especially this woman in particular, who felt that way about her. She knew that she was not perfect, and Sherry knew it, and of course it's true of us all. But she demonstrated what this woman thought was Jesus in her. And the scriptures speak about Jesus being in us. Jesus is in the life of the Christian in the form of the Holy Spirit. We demonstrate the presence of Jesus when we serve others. The passage in Matthew 25 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right," and the picture is a gathering of a huge number of people, some on Jesus' left, some on his right, and now he's going to tell where each one goes for eternity. And he said this, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father," meaning those on his right, "inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." Do you take people home to eat when they need a meal? That was something Beth used to do. Before I ever thought of preaching, and we were just members of the congregation, we would go to church, and Beth would have the food on the stove cooking for more than just our family, because very many times she would ask some new visitor at the service that morning to come home and have supper with us or lunch. Now, that doesn't happen much anymore. There's so many McDonald's and Burger Kings and Wendy's around that people don't think of that. But frequently people would say, all right, and they would come. And the effect that had on people was such that they wanted to come back and find out what's going on in that church building that led people to want to do a thing like that to a total stranger. But that's what Jesus is talking about. He said, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Stranger, you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and come to you? When did we ever do that? We can't remember that. And the king will say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. When we serve others, Jesus considers it something you're doing for him. What about if you neglect others? What about if you disregard them? What about if you go your own way and never pay any attention to them? Would Jesus then also feel like that's how you were treating him? Think about that. The presence of God is with us in service. God is present when people are baptized. Now there's passages that make reference to that. Think about these a minute. In Romans 6, it speaks about being united with Jesus and being buried with Jesus. And the time that that happens is when someone is baptized. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism. We're talking about the presence of God in our lives. In a sense, when we are buried in Christian baptism, which is an immersion, and raised up from that watery grave, it's with Jesus. Jesus is there. What's he doing there? He's washing away our sins. You mean the water can do that? Of course not. Well, what does do it then? The blood of Jesus, which he shed, meaning he gave his life as a perfect sacrifice, is what did the washing away of those sins. Colossians 2:12 says it in similar words. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. It's God's work. But Jesus is said to be present in some spiritual sense when that takes place. Let's see another one. God is present when partaking of the Lord's Supper, which we just partook of a few minutes ago. Now, in some spiritual way, Jesus partakes with us during the Lord's Supper. He said in 1 Corinthians 10:16, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Now there are those who think that magic happened and that the bread is now Jesus' physical body and the cup we drink from is truly his blood. But after he said that, he made reference to this cup of the fruit of the vine. He obviously was drawing an analogy, a comparison between himself and his sacrifice, with what people who partake of the Lord's Supper have when they take the Lord's Supper during communion every Sunday. Jesus also said, take, eat, this is my body, and drink from it, for this is my blood. So Jesus, body and blood, not physically. It's a mistake to say that it turns into the physical body. That defies all sense, all logic, all science, all everything. And besides, what benefit would it be physically? The benefit is our thankfulness to Jesus for what he did, our dwelling on the wonderful blessing that he gave us in sacrificing himself. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it has to do with Jesus being present in that act. The last one, God is present when witnessing to people. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he commissioned his disciples to go and tell people about what he did and what it will do for them. And he said in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, especially in 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That means go teach people the gospel. A disciple is a learner. And you make a disciple out of a person if you teach them something and they learn from it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now notice the last few words. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You say, well, I don't think I can go out and teach people because that's too hard. I'm too shy. It's too complicated. It takes more than I can give them. Well, when you go out and tell people about Jesus and what you did to become a Christian, how you were saved, how thankful to God you are, guess who's with you at that time? Jesus said it, I am with you. Now he said that at the end of the statement that said go and teach and baptize. And then he said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So you can acknowledge the presence of God by looking up in the sky. You don't do anything to make that happen. That's a case of accepting what God has done in forming the universe. But you can choose the presence of God or decline it. You can choose it by coming to hear the word and opening your heart to the message that it has for you. You can choose the presence of God by responding by faith and being baptized, immersed into Christ. Now, that's a choice that you make. Nobody is made by God to come and be a Christian. Nobody is forced to do anything. I'm sure you saw that. You come to services here, nobody tells, makes you do whatever you do. If you are cut to the heart, as those people were when Peter preached in Acts 2, then they are led to make the kind of response that God wants. You can choose the presence of God by partaking of the Lord's Supper and by serving others. You see, we come in here like a gas station, and we get filled up with fuel, hopefully. And when we go out, then we have the power of motion, like an automobile, to go and take the message to people who need it. And of course, witnessing is a means of serving. Galatians 2:20, closing verse. Jesus, or Paul, said about his relationship to God, and it's such a powerful statement. Think about it. He said, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." He's here in you if you are a genuine, sincere, dedicated Christian. I don't live any longer. Would somebody ever call you a male or a female Jesus because of the way you demonstrated him in your life? Well, I know Beth would have been uncomfortable for anybody to say that, but it was the impression left on somebody by her life. And your life and my life can leave a similar impression by the degree of love and service that we demonstrate for them and to them because of Jesus living in us. I hope that you will take to heart these things and will realize that Jesus can and is with you in so many different ways, and you'll choose to let him be in you as you come by faith and are buried with him in baptism, if that has not been an experience that you've had. May God bless that be done. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for Jesus coming to earth and for demonstrating to mankind his love and his sacrificial service, and for the message he brought to us about why he came. He came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you, Father, for that blessing. And I pray that you will help us to receive him into our lives so that I won't be living anymore, but it'll be Jesus in me that people see and that has an effect on them. I praise you and thank you for that. Guide and direct us, Father, that as we go from here, that your presence in our lives will be felt, understood, and sought, and that others will be able to see and be influenced by it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.